Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, after the Apostle Paul had shown that God had used Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Pharaoh, others that he had involved in revealing his plan of salvation, the system of salvation, which is the burden of the message of the book of Romans, he is simply showing that this system is of divine origin. It didn't come from the minds of men. It came from the mind of God. Now it is true that God often rebuked even some of those whom he used, and some might have reasoned that God was not being fair in doing that. Paul says here in the 19th verse of Romans 9, "Thou wilt say then unto me, Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?" And then he answers, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" And he illustrates what he's saying. "Hath not the potter power over the clay, and over the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? And what if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, but not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles?" Now, in this paragraph, the Apostle Paul talks about vessels of wrath that were fit for destruction. They deserved destruction. He also speaks of vessels of mercy, and he had prepared all of those to bring about the display and the revelation of his power and of his glory. And man does not have the right to question what God has done. You see, this plan has come from God, friend. Man does not have a right to second guess God as to how God should save man. God has been the one that determined that. God selected the ones he wanted to use to reveal his plan, and man is out of place to question what God has done, as out of place as clay would have been out of place to question what the potter had done. God has the power to use man without having to consult man or to fit man's will or satisfy the wishes of man. God sometimes used good people. He sometimes used evil people in order to accomplish his purposes. And men should not question what God had done. Now, God had determined what class of people would be the ones through whom he would bless all mankind. He selected these various vessels, and those who became the recipients of the mercy of God, they were called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, of course, they had favorably responded to the gospel call. And now Paul turns to the fact that this was not only a system to save the Jews, whom Paul longed to save, but it was also for the Gentiles as well. And, of course, as the book of Romans has repeatedly shown, it was necessary for all mankind to be able to be saved because all were in need of salvation from sin. And he shows how that the Old Testament prophets, Jewish prophets, had foretold that both Jew and Gentile would be included in God's scheme of salvation. In verse 25, he says, "As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, Ye are not my people, there shall also be called the children of the living God. Now there he's showing that the Gentiles, they had not been selected like the Israelites had. But nonetheless, there would come the time that they too would be called the children of God. And turning from that prophet, he turns to Isaiah. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. You may recall that God had told Abraham that he would be the father of so many, would be like the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. Isaiah says that Israel was like that. And then he says in the next couple of verses something that's rather difficult for us to grasp, and we have to go slow. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Well, with these two prophecies from Hosea and Isaiah, he shows that salvation is open to both Jew and Gentile. Those who were once not his people, they could be his people. And that those of Israel, though they be many, there would be only a remnant of them that would come to Christ. Friend, Paul is taking note of a historical fact that when Jesus came, he came, of course, for the purpose of saving all of mankind. But the Jewish nation, the one through whom he came, as mostly in the nation, they rejected him. Now, that was not true of all. There was this remnant that was willing to follow the Lord. But Paul knew that most of the Jewish brethren refused to accept the Christ. And he quotes from Isaiah chapter 10. In one verse, he quotes directly, and in the next verse, he seems to give the sense of what he's trying to say here. Now, they are both just about the same frame of understanding. Notice, the idea given here is that even though there were many Israelites, those who were fleshly descendants of Abraham, only a few would be among those that were saved, because most would reject the way of the Lord. And the resulting condemnation would be a work that God would perform, even to the termination of Israel as a special people, as they had been previously. A short work is the consumption of the disobedient. You see, righteousness demanded the destruction of Israel at the hands of the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and later on, a short while after this epistle was written, at the hands of the Romans. But the Jews rejected God's way. And those who did not reject it, why, they would not be rejected by God. And Paul goes further with this idea. What shall we say then? Having shown that it was intended by God all along to save both Jew and Gentile, what shall we say? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained the law of righteousness. The Gentiles which did not follow a written law, they are now included as God's people when they obey the law of Christ. On the other hand, the fleshly Israelites, who had been given a law, a written law, by God through Moses, they did not live under that law obediently as they should, but rejected most of them in the nation, rejected the very one that was come to save all mankind. And Paul tells us why they were rejected. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. That's the law of Moses. They tried to go to heaven by the law of Moses. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now the Jews, as I said, try to obey God and follow God by following the law of Moses, but the law of Moses was not God's way to save mankind. The one through whom all could be saved was a stumbling stone to the Jews. It was a rock of offense. That referred to Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the one that came to save. That which could have been their stepping stone into glory, the Lord's Son, became the stumbling stone for them. Now, Christ is the Savior. God has devised the system whereby Christ would save. He desires the salvation of all. That was, after all, his mission. He came to seek and to save the lost. He did not come to condemn. He came to save. Now there will be condemnation to those who reject him. But his primary mission was to save both Jew and Gentile, those who would respond favorably to a system that God has chosen, a system that has been revealed through those that God has chosen. It's important for us to understand, friend, when we study the system of salvation, we're not studying some man-made discipline or creed or catechism or prayer book or something of that nature that men have concocted. We're talking about something that has come from the mind of God. God has delivered unto us the way that he will save us from our sins. Now, if we want to be saved, we're going to submit to the will of God. But if we're going to continue to hold on to the doctrines and traditions of our denominations or of our ancestors, why, that will produce no spiritual benefit to anybody. And this was the problem that the Jews had. They continued to hold on to their old ways that were nailed to the cross. In the next chapter, Paul emphasizes this strongly, that the Gentile people were God's people because of the system that they followed. Christ, the Jews, for the most part, had rejected the very Christ that came through the people of Israel that God had selected to show this salvation. When we come to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. In the 9th chapter, he said, well, he was even willing to be lost if it would be for the salvation of his own countrymen. Of course, he could not save them. Christ is the Savior. But this shows Paul's great desire that the Jewish people accept that which God had given. And he talks about that more in the 10th chapter, and how people can take advantage of the grace and the mercy and the love that God has shown in the sending of his Son to be the salvation of mankind. We hope that you'll continue to study with us from the book of Romans. We'll pick up with chapter 10 in our next program. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.